Back with you, everybody, here on your Thursday morning. Jim Stewart in, sitting in for Mr. Wade, who hopefully has not broke a wing or anything up there skiing, but his bride is here, and I'm sure she'll give us an update. He's still alive and kicking.
He's not feeling real good.
Well, now's not the time not to feel good.
Well, it's
is it man-made
the
feeling?
The health coach didn't travel with him and make sure he was doing what he
well,
should
now that would have
doing,
worked so. Real well.
Probably hit Taco Villa on his way up.
Oh, you know it.
Don't you
no
know?
No telling what he ate.
Well, let's don't, probably don't, that, I still think it might be a little man-made, but.
Probably.
I'm
sure.
Yeah. Good morning once again, our good friend, Dr. Ben Edwards in, and of course, beautiful Miss Melody over there, kind of brightening up the room this morning. Veritas Medical in with us, and it's always good to have you, Doctor. Good to see you. How was your weekend?
It was good, Jim. Thanks for having me again. Good to be here.
Did you do anything constructive?
Well, yeah. Pruned some trees. I felt like a real man out there working.
It is that time. Instead of
sitting on my tush using my brain, I got to use my biceps. So
it
was good.
Pruning time, this is the time. It really is where people believe it or not. Hey, I believe we have your guest on the other line from one of my favorite states.
Yes, we do. We have Dr. Rick Malter with us. Dr. Rick Malter earned his Ph.D. in clinical and educational psychology from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 1971. Prior to that, he had earned a degree in 1958. Maybe I shouldn't be saying these dates. I don't want to date you, Dr. Malter.
I think it's too late now, Dr.
Well, I'm proud to admit I just turned 80 years old thanks to the topic we're going to talk about today.
Well, I'm 75 awesome. Over here, so these two youngsters across from me, I need some help, doctors. I mean,
well, before we jump right into the things we want to talk about with Dr. Malter, I kind of just want to preface it with, and I think most of our listeners know, but in case we have any other new listeners, now that I'm practicing functional medicine, basically we at our clinic believe the body will function normally if it's given what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. And obviously most of that's nutritional, but a big aspect of that also is stress. We weren't intended to live in a state of fight or flight very often, if ever. So that's part of what we work on, is bringing the nutrients back in, the raw materials that the body requires to build cells that work right, but also avoid the things that impede normal function, not only from a chemical standpoint and a processed food-like substance standpoint, but from a stress standpoint too. So I was first introduced to Dr. Malter through a patient, actually. We had a young lady who'd been with us for oh, a couple of years, maybe up to 3 years even, doing everything that we preach to do as far as what we call the four pillars, nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. She lacked a lot of peace in her life, and she knew that, but she'd been trying to work on that. And she'd improved in a lot of ways, but she still had some fatigue and brain fog were the two primary issues. And she had discovered a thing called hair tissue mineral analysis, and this is through Dr. Rick Malter in his online course, and had read his book, and she implemented his protocols and with specific remineralization protocols, and she was like a new woman. I mean, she came back to her follow-up appointment and was just so happy and giddy and excited and really ecstatic and just couldn't wait to tell me all about the stuff she'd learned about analyzing your tissue levels of minerals via the hair. So you get a hair sample and you analyze the mineral content, the different ratios of the different minerals. And so she had done that, and then she had been consulted on what to do about those results and had supplemented with certain minerals and some vitamins, and she was just a whole new woman. I mean, her fatigue was gone, her brain fog was gone, and this again was after a couple of years of doing everything we'd asked her to do, and she had improved in those 2 years, but not to the point of where she was at this point. So anyways, obviously that gets me excited. Anytime I see a patient do something that gets themselves better, I'm real interested in it. I want to learn about it so I can try to affect change and benefit other patients. So that was a few months ago, and since then I've bought Dr. Malter's book. I've been listening to some of his online classes that he has available. One of my PAs, Dennis Held, specifically is dove into this topic even much more deeper. So we're checking all of our patients' hair tissue mineral analysis now just to have a better assessment. So that's a little background. Dr. Malter, again, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Ben, and to share this kind of vital health information with you and your listeners.
Well, I like always to start when we have a guest, just so our listeners kind of get to know you more. I mean, I mentioned where you got your degree from and whatnot, but
we do have an open line, 745-5800, okay, for the doctor to call in and join, because we have the doctor on the back line. So
okay. But if you could just tell a little bit of your history. I mean, obviously from your degree, from standpoint, you started in psychology, but kind of give us a little brief synopsis of what got you from a clinical psychologist background and practice into what you're doing now at 80 years old with the minerals.
Okay. When I got into my psychology training at the University of Chicago for my bachelor's and master's degrees, and then the PhD at the University of Illinois, basically the orientation of my psychology training kind of led us psych students in those days to think only of psychology involving from the chin up. We didn't really look around and take seriously the fact that every person walking around had their head attached to the body.
Yeah.
So we didn't pay much attention to how the body and its various functions could be affecting psychological function. Although I had just begun to work with a couple of gentlemen in the Chicago suburbs around the early part of 1980, was an optometrist and a PhD educator who were working with the kids who had various diagnoses, learning disabilities and attention deficit disorder and different kinds of reading and learning problems. And these two gentlemen were nearby where my office was that I had just opened, and they asked me to join their staff as their consulting psychologist. And I got to know the PhD educator quite well. We became good friends. We'd go out for coffee, talk a lot, and have lunch together. And the PhD educator noticed that I was not in good health or good shape. I had reached a point of what I refer now, looking back. I was in a stress burnout. I was totally exhausted. My mind was in a fog. And I had a big red growth on the right side of my forehead. So I was getting a little concerned about that. And I had gone for a six-hour glucose tolerance test at my chiropractors. And my fasting blood sugar, the first blood draw, showed that my blood sugar fasting was 45. And Dr. Edwards, I'm sure you are aware of how incredibly low a 45 blood sugar is.
Yeah, that's almost to the coma level. It's hard to imagine you're walking around.
Yeah. I felt like I was just above being in a coma. Then they gave me the glucose. My glucose shot up to the 160s for a couple hours. And then by the time they finished the last blood draw, at the end of the 6 hours, blood sugar had crashed back down to 35.
Wow.
And I had
wow.
shakes, and I thought I was dying.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like maybe you were about to.
That's exciting. Lucky.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And so the PhD educator shortly after that told me that he thought I better get a hair mineral analysis. So I had pretty long, curly locks. And so he cut a sample, sent it into a lab, got the results back. And when he got the results back and met with me, he put his thumb and forefingers very close together and told me, "Rick, you are this close to a heart attack." Now, that kind of stunned me, but it sure got my attention. And how did he know that? Because the hair mineral analysis showed that my magnesium level was 0.9, and it should be up around 6.
Wow.
So it was extremely low, and that right away indicated to him that with such a low magnesium, that would affect regulation of my blood sugar and make me very susceptible to reactive hypoglycemia, which the glucose tolerance test showed. And magnesium is absolutely vital for powering and regulating the heart muscle and heart functions.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I learned afterwards, the more it convinced me that I had had a very close call, and that my PhD educator friend of mine, Dr. Ken Cantillari, really saved my life and pulled me back from the brink of a health catastrophe. So that got my interest, and they gave me a little booklet of an interview with Dr. Paul Eck, who is the founder of the Analytical Research Lab at Phoenix. And in this interview, Dr. Eck explained what he and his colleague, Dr. David Watts, a chiropractor, what they had discovered about minerals from the hair analysis. And they had figured out how to properly analyze and interpret the mineral data that came from a hair mineral analysis from a licensed clinical lab. And so after reading that interview, that kind of piqued my interest. And it turned out that a short while later, in May of 1982, Dr. Eck and Dr. Watts had come up to Chicago to give a weekend seminar at DePaul University's downtown campus in downtown Chicago. And I said to myself, I think I better go to this seminar. So I was still kind of weak and groggy, because even though I had started supplements, it took a long time to rebuild my depleted magnesium reserves. But I did manage to drive back and forth between my suburban home and downtown Chicago over that weekend. And I was just blown away by the information that Drs. Eck and Watts were sharing with us about minerals, about what they learned from their research. And then I began to get notifications of their seminars that they were giving in Phoenix, Arizona. And I made it a point to come down to Phoenix at least once or twice a year, beginning in March of 1983, to learn more about this phenomenal hair mineral analysis. And so I began coming down to Phoenix for those seminars and learning more and more each time. And I was just blown away by the explanations that they were able to give about how the minerals regulate heart function, blood sugar, kidney function, liver function, and brain function. So as a psychologist, I got intrigued about the psychological aspects of it. And after a couple of years, I felt confident enough to begin to integrate hair mineral analysis in my psychology practice. And it really opened up my eyes to why many of the kids I was seeing testing for learning disabilities and ADHD, why they were having the kind of problems they were having. And we began to get some phenomenal results with one particular extremely hyperactive ADHD boy, 9 years old, and it turned out that he was extremely toxic with an excessive load of copper. And it turned out that copper is stored in the liver, but also in the brain. And when it's stored in the brain in excess, it's overstimulating to brain functions and contributes to the onset of many of the ADHD symptoms involving concentration, memory, and lack of focus. So I was getting more and more excited about this, and I made it a point to go to Phoenix at least once or twice a year over the next several years. And I just learned more and more and more, and then I was able to pull together some case studies and write them up and submit them to publication in the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine. And some of my articles, I put links on my website, www.malterinstitute.org, if any listeners want to look at some of those articles. So that's how I got into hair analysis. For me, it involved a critical health crisis that brought me to the really to the brink of sudden death. And I was very fortunate to be in the right place at the right time and to meet such a brilliant PhD educator as Dr. Candelaria. And
quite a story.
That's how I got into it.
So as you got more confident in the mineral analysis and you started implementing that more and more into your practice, did it become a foundational part of your practice, just an ancillary part, total part? I mean, how much were you using, you know, techniques that you were trained in versus would you start going to the minerals initially or later? Or would everybody need to be analyzed? How did your practice start to change?
Well, since I was a psychologist, many of the people who were coming to me at first would not be expecting that a psychologist would ask them to do a lab test such as cutting a hair sample and sending a hair sample off.
Right.
So I had to still approach each new client as a psychologist because I simply assumed that's what they were coming to see me as a clinical and as a school psychologist.
Okay.
And then once I established rapport, then I would introduce the idea of possibly doing the hair mineral analysis.
Okay.
And then after I began to have some success with some of my clients, then they would spread the word to their relatives and friends and then refer people directly for the hair analysis.
Okay.
So that made it much easier to get into doing the lab work.
Okay.
Well, and then the more I learned about the mineral system and the fact that the minerals are so closely related to the stress response, which we could describe as the fight or flight response.
Right.
Fight is anger and rage, and flight is anxiety and panic. Those are emotions that are right in the heart of psychological function. and psychological practice. So I became more and more comfortable utilizing the hair analysis, which was giving me a clearer picture of the stress condition of the children, the adolescents, and the adults we were working with.
Okay. Well, and that's a great lead into my question. You know, people ask me all the time, do I really need to supplement? And so specifically with minerals, you know, the soil, I've got a graph that I show in presentations that I give around town or wherever I go, and it shows the mineral content of the soil and of the food back in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, and then it shows when mechanized farming started in the 30s, and then it showed when you know, man-made fertilizer, ammonium nitrate fertilizers came in, and then it shows when the pesticide, fungicide, herbicides come in. And at each step along that path, the mineral content in the soil just gets depleted down to minuscule amounts compared to where it was in the early 1900s. So how much of this, in your opinion, is do we get demineralized from a lack of minerals in our food versus, you know, I think what we're about to get into, that magnesium burn and the stress causing the wasting of these minerals, where we deplete our minerals because of that fight or flight or stress?
I remember reading an article many years ago that referred to a U.S. Senate hearing. I think the date was back in 1936. It was probably the Agricultural Committee. And they were discussing the problems of demineralized soils as far back as 1936 in the U.S. Senate.
Mm.
So that's taken us back 81 years.
Yeah.
And so they were already aware that there was a serious problem of demineralization of the soils by the middle of the Depression years in 1936. And it's just gotten progressively worse. And minerals have to be acquired through foods that we eat or through water and liquids that we drink. The body cannot make minerals, so we have to get minerals from external sources. And even though our grocery store shelves may be full, and even though most of us have plenty of food to eat, we can fill our bellies, but we could still be on the brink of starvation in terms of a lack of minerals from the foods that we're eating. They just don't contain enough minerals to really build up and sustain adequate mineral levels for the body's cells to function.
Yeah, I tell patients all the time, nobody's really starving in America now, but we're all malnourished. We don't have the micronutrient levels that we're supposed to have. And just for the listeners who maybe are new to the program and not well-versed in what we're talking about, minerals are stuff like magnesium, calcium, phosphorus, zinc, manganese, iron, copper. Those are all the minerals versus your vitamins, you know, vitamin A, B, C, D, E. So just a little background there. But minerals are vital parts of our biochemistry, of all the cellular processes going on in each cell of the body, all the chemical reactions going on.
Right. And interestingly, our schools simply do not teach enough relating health to a person's mineral status.
Right, all the way up to medical school. I mean, I really wasn't well-versed at all. Of course, when someone was on a pharmaceutical like furosemide, Lasix, a diuretic, and we know that causes depletion of potassium, we would know to just give potassium replacement for that one particular medication. But really, that is from a mineral standpoint. Of course, we talk about iron. When we look at folks who are anemic, we think about checking their iron levels. But other than that, I mean, we really didn't look at minerals too much. I mean, we would generically tell people take more calcium if they had thin bones, but we didn't look at the magnesium. I mean, rarely did I ever look at a magnesium level, and even at that, it was just in the blood. So from an education standpoint, I feel like I've had to go back to school in regards to learning what all these minerals do, and what's the best way to assess them, how do you replace them, with the ratios. I mean, I didn't get any of that in medical school.
Yep. But fortunately, a lot of excellent research about minerals and the mineral system is now available on the internet, and so a lot of really good information is available and easily accessible, both for professionals and lay people.
Yeah.
Once we become aware of how vital the minerals are.
Right. And, my father-in-law used to sell livestock feed to cattlemen, and when he learned that I was learning about minerals, I mean, he and I struck up a conversation because he said, "Oh yeah, these are things we talk about, know about, and assess and consider with the cows." And now I'm just now coming around with humans to do the same thing. I felt pretty stupid that, you know, me being an MD didn't even know any of this stuff. So,
yeah. But, well, I like to quote another MD, Henry Schroeder, MD, who many, many years ago, probably at least 50 years ago, made the simple observation that minerals are the spark plugs of life.
Mm.
He considered them that important.
Wow.
And I add to Dr. Schroeder's observation about minerals that magnesium is the primary spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
It is so vital for powering energy and the production of energy within ourselves.
Right. Well, and from an enzymatic standpoint, for the listeners, you know, enzymes are basically the components in our body that help catalyze, help do different reactions. You know, we talk about the sunlight hitting our skin, and our skin changes the cholesterol in the skin into vitamin D. Well, that doesn't just magically happen. There's an enzyme, probably multiple enzymes, that cause these chemical reactions, this cascade of chemical reactions to occur, that moves different molecules around, different atoms around, that create the vitamin D, which is actually a hormone, from that cholesterol. So enzymes are absolutely essential for all these chemical reactions that occur, and enzymes are mineral dependent. If you don't have minerals, you know, then the enzymes don't work as effectively or efficiently as they should. We talk about detoxification all the time. Same thing. You don't just automatically push these toxins out of your body. You've got to do things to those toxins to prepare them to be expelled from the body. Then you actually have to move them out. And a lot of those enzymes are magnesium dependent. So it's just the way our body works. The way our body gets jobs done is through enzymes, which all require minerals to work.
Exactly. And that's why magnesium is such a primary mineral. And what affects a person's magnesium status is our basic stress response.
Mm.
As stress intensifies, we burn through magnesium and deplete magnesium quite rapidly. And people can be losing magnesium to critically deficient levels, like I was in 37 years ago, without any awareness that this is the primary thing that's happened to them. They
right.
become magnesium deficient.
Yeah. I have a quick story that kind of goes along with that. Dr. Lee Cowden, who's a medical doctor, he's a cardiologist by training. He's the president of the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine. And he's one of my mentors, and he told me one day when we were talking about magnesium, he was trying to tell me how I've got to think about magnesium when I'm dealing with any kind of arrhythmia, so either atrial fibrillation, supraventricular tachycardia, SVT, or you know, low heart rate, any irregular heartbeat. And he told me this story when he was working in the ER one day. A young man came in about 45 years old and collapsed in the waiting room, had a massive heart attack. And they wheeled him back into the ER and worked on him and coded him and shocked him with the paddles a few times and pushed all the drugs and did all they could, worked on him for over an hour, and he never came back. He died, and Dr. Cowden had to go out in the waiting room and explain to the wife that, "I'm sorry, your husband passed away from a massive heart attack." And the wife said, "Well, that's impossible. He was at the VA yesterday and had an angiogram done that showed no blockage." And so Dr. Cowden's conclusion was it was probably a spasm of the blood vessel wall because of lack of magnesium. Magnesium helps the muscles to relax, where calcium causes them to contract. So magnesium deficiency causing a spasm of that artery that couldn't be undone by drugs, and they didn't think to give them magnesium. So that's just one example. Of course, that's a dramatic, deadly example, but how important these minerals are. Melody, you had a question real quick?
Yeah, I have a friend of mine that's in the hospital, and she's had years of massive stress. And as she was in the hospital, they did some examining of her heart. Her heart has been seriously weakened, and she has a condition called, I'm going to butcher this, tachobuzocardiomyopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have her on Ativan. I'm not sure what the other drug is, but they're going to outfit her with a vest. Mm. And if her heart rate gets too low, it's going to zap her. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, and I don't even, as far as I know, I don't think they've checked her magnesium levels.
Yeah. Well, what they would check most likely is just a serum magnesium level. Maybe if they had a forward-thinking doctor, they'd do a crushed red blood cell magnesium level, which would look at the level of magnesium inside the cell, not just what's in the blood. But even at that, there's some question on how accurate that is as far as translating what's inside her heart muscle cell and all her other cells in her brain and everywhere else, what's inside of those cells, because the blood's a transport medium. So the blood's moving stuff here and there and everywhere, moving nutrients and oxygen to the cells, moving carbon dioxide and waste out of the cell, and it's got to stay in this fine little window of pH, you know, 7.35, 7.45-ish. So the blood's always kind of fine-tuning itself to keep that level of pH just right. So there's definitely some question on how accurate is that blood assessment compared to what's actually in her heart muscle. But I think we need to take a break. So, Dr. Malter, we can, we'll take that clinical case right there that Melody just presented about the high-stress patient now in the hospital with cardiomyopathy. How old is this person?
52.
Okay. So let's do a quick commercial break, and we'll come back and finish talking about that case.
We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us on your Monday morning.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. Right now, we have a very large selection of natural cold, flu, and allergy remedies. It's that time of year to build up your immunity to help you fight off this year's bugs. If we don't have it in stock, what you're looking for, then we can special order it. Texas owned and operated for over 20 years. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus inside Drug Emporium, 82nd and Slide Road. Get by and see us today.
Make sure you join us here at KRFE AM 580 every Thursday from 9 until 9:30 a.m. for the Precision Auto Repair Show with Scott Sim. Precision Auto Repair, open 8 to 8 Monday through Friday. Scott Sim with Precision Auto Repair will be answering your questions on auto repair, both foreign and domestic. Scott will also answer questions about computer diagnosis, fuel injection, tune-ups, brakes, electrical, and much, much more. So tune in to Scott Sim for the Precision Auto Repair Show from 9 until 9:30 a.m. every Thursday right here on KRFE AM 580.
Are you tired of not getting great health care when you want it? Or how about doctors who seem to be in a rush and your health care concerns are not being met? Or how about appointments that are generally scheduled when you can't be there? Or the we can see you next week attitude? Well, put all that nonsense behind you and let me introduce you to Dr. Andy Gray, MD. He's a retainer fee doctor unique to this area. A one-time annual retainer fee with same-day, next-day appointments and no copays for visits. Prompt access to Dr. Andy Gray 24/7. He's on call for you, the patient. A physician that makes house calls, direct email access, and unlimited office visits with no waiting. You say unbelievable in today's healthcare? I say Dr. Andy Gray, MD. Call us at our office to learn more at 785-0600. That's 785-0600. Let Dr. Andy Gray and his great staff make healthcare what it should be, accessible for you when you need it.
Stop by our new location at 5807 63rd Street, Suite 200, a half a block west of Frankfort Avenue.
back with you folks here with our good friend Dr. Ben Edwards and Miss, as we like to refer to her, Bubs, but Miss Melody.
That would be Bubbles.
I say Bubs because I'm old and it's easier. I'm not I'll talk quick and get it over with. Dr. Ben Edwards with us, Veritas Medical. Doctor, good to have you with us and really enjoying our guest today, so I guess we ought to get back to him. What do you think?
Yeah, Dr. Rick Malter's with us today talking about hair tissue mineral analysis and minerals in general in regards to our health, our mental health and physical health. And Melody had a case she was talking about before the break of a friend who's 52 years old, been under chronic stress for a very long time, and now apparently has some cardiac issues going on, cardiomyopathy. She also mentioned during the break we'll get random attacks of panic/anxiety and a high pulse rate. Is that right, Melody?
Mm-hmm. Her pulse will go really high, and then she gets really low blood pressure.
Okay. So what Dr. Malter was talking about earlier is when we're under this fight or flight or chronic stress, we start losing our magnesium. So, Dr. Malter, we'll let you take it from there. Besides magnesium loss, I mean, we can talk about the consequences of magnesium loss, but other minerals, too, and the ratios that get out of whack when you're in this chronic stress state.
Yeah, well, I would like to just add a comment relative to this case you were discussing of this cardiomyopathy. One of the gentlemen who took my hair analysis training course for professionals several years ago is a nurse practitioner with over 40 years of experience. And in the course of his career, he worked in ERs and also in ICUs with many heart attack victims. And what they found is if they hooked the person up to an IV magnesium, that with virtually all of those patients, the heart would in its beat, and the rhythm would begin to level out and straighten out. And wow. So he does a similar kind of practice in his outpatient clinic in Colorado.
Yeah.
And very well versed in the connection between stress, magnesium deficiency, and the cardiovascular crises.
Mm. Well, talk about some of those ratios and the other minerals as far as when someone's under chronic stress in kind of fight or flight mode for a long time. What do you typically see from a ratio standpoint?
Well, one of the things that we've learned from hair analysis research over the last 40 years and clinical practice with hair analysis is that the minerals that are observed and measured in a lab test like hair analysis are all interrelated in a very dynamic, complex system. So one nutrient or one drug or medication can have an effect on one mineral in this system and start a cascade of changes throughout the rest of the system. And that's one of the fascinating but valuable things we learn utilizing hair mineral analysis. And a good example is with a vitamin D or hormone D. many people are testing low in their vitamin D serum tests. And so many practitioners are recommending vitamin D supplementation. Well, vitamin D is shown by hair analysis research to lower potassium in the cells and tissues, raise calcium in the cells and tissues, soft tissue calcification. And it, as potassium drops and calcium goes up, a couple of primary ratios of minerals change drastically. When potassium drops, a person who is in high stress will wind up with a very high sodium to a very low potassium ratio, which further intensifies stress. And then as stress intensifies, that accelerates what we call the magnesium burn rate. With intense stress, you burn through magnesium, and before you know it, you have a critical magnesium deficiency, which also affects the calcium-magnesium ratio that regulates the heart and blood sugar. And since the blood sugar is also the fuel of the brain, that can contribute to anxiety and panic attacks. So that's why you see a cluster of different physical and psychological symptoms that are traceable back to these mineral changes. That's one of the fascinating but valuable aspects of hair mineral analysis.
Yeah. So when if you were to see, or you had a client tell you, my vitamin D level just got checked in my blood work and it was, you know, 10 or 12 or something really low, anything below 30 is officially considered normal. I think a lot of people like to see it closer to 50 or more. But how do you look at that and assess that? Is that a consequence as part of this demineralization, or is that just not being outside with enough sunlight, or a combination of both? And then what would you do to correct that?
I always like to see a nutrient like vitamin D in the context of the person's hair mineral analysis.
Right.
So it depends on what their overall mineral levels and mineral ratios are before I would recommend that a person add in a single nutrient like vitamin D, trying to correct one single deficiency that's showing in the blood serum testing.
Right.
As we know, vitamin D is going to have a profound impact on most people's mineral levels. And I've written an article describing how changes in the mineral system with large amounts of vitamin D may actually intensify stress, deplete magnesium, and in some people even trigger a heart attack.
Mm. Yeah. So, for instance, if a patient had already a high level of calcium in their cells, in their tissue, especially relative to magnesium or potassium, and you start supplementing with high-dose vitamin D, you're going to potentially exacerbate that whole thing with tissue calcification.
Exactly. Exactly. And tightening of muscles.
Right.
On muscle spasms in the arteries and the heart, as well as the skeletal muscles. So I look at the hair analysis as a primary mineral pattern because that's what really supports health functions and supports life itself. As Dr. Schroeder mentioned, minerals are the spark plugs of life.
Right.
And so I give priority to that.
Yeah. And when you were saying that when these minerals are out of balance, it can worsen stress, am I correct in saying that a person's ability to cope with or handle these stressors that come up throughout the day diminishes, so that small little things will seem like huge things when these minerals are out of balance? So that just exacerbates the whole stress picture because they can't handle anything at that point because of the mineral imbalance.
Exactly. Psychologically, that's what we call a person having a short fuse or an extremely low frustration tolerance. And when you're deficient in magnesium, that allows sodium to shoot sky high, and that makes you much more stressed and much more irritable, and then you have a vicious cycle.
Right.
The more stress you're under, the more you burn through magnesium. But the lower your magnesium goes, the more you are reactive to stress.
Okay.
And well, that's laid out so clearly in most hair mineral analyses.
Right. So, correct me where I may be wrong here. I'm assuming everyone's demineralized because our diet is demineralized. Pretty much, at least patients coming to see me are all going to be stressed and have been for a long time. Is there a scenario where you would not agree with just throwing magnesium at everybody, even if you don't have their hair mineral analysis back?
Well, one of the things that was discovered early on in the hair analysis research of my mentors, Dr. Paul Eck and Dr. David Watts, 40 years ago was that you could determine a person's oxidation type. That's synonymous with metabolic type. And the two basic ones are the fast oxidizer and the slow oxidizer. Now, the fast oxidizer tends to have very high sodium levels and very low magnesium levels. And so with most fast oxidizers, you can give them a lot of magnesium, which will help bring down that high sodium and slow down their adrenal glands, which are the stress-reactive glands, and calm their nervous system and their endocrine system. Whereas 80% of the population today are slow oxidizers, and they have low sodium levels. They have sluggish or fatigued adrenals, but they may have a high ratio of calcium to magnesium, which means they'll have a magnesium deficiency relative to their calcium level. They need some magnesium, but in those cases, you also have to give them nutritional support to weak adrenal glands. And that's much more of a challenge to balance adrenal support along with magnesium. So it's a very interesting but important clinical challenge to help them get what they need, but to keep things in as good a balance as possible.
Right. How, in your experience, Dr. Malter, how difficult is it to help these folks stay in balance if they're continuing to be stressed? You know, in the perfect world, we can assess a patient, look at what they need, make recommendations, and, you know, wave a magic wand and the stressors in their life go away. So then maybe in 3 or 6 months or 9 months, everything's balanced back out and they're good to go. Versus what if they stay under stress continuously? Are you constantly chasing this, or can you find kind of a baseline supplementation protocol that tends to work for them?
Well, I think the way to monitor how they're being impacted by stress is by retesting with the hair analysis every 3 or 4 or 6 months, simply to monitor how their mineral system is being impacted by various lifestyle factors, including the stresses of life. And in a more perfect world, I think we could get a better handle on people's health situation by utilizing hair mineral analysis much more frequently, just as you mentioned that you're doing in the clinic now.
Right.
So you're getting that picture on on the different patients who are coming to your clinic for help.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fascinating to see. I'm assuming, especially with your background in psychology, that you're actively working, when you do work with clients, you would actively pursue things to diminish their stress loads in their life.
Right. And sometimes that involves looking at their relationships, at the looking at their family dynamics, looking at their work situation, looking at their school situation. Schools are incredibly stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Work situations, unfortunately, are incredibly stressful. And also financial situations.
Right.
Financial situations are a major source of stress for virtually everybody.
Yeah. But to give people hope, I mean, you can assist. I mean, when you get these minerals back in close to balance, I mean, you can get tremendous improvements in different physical and psychological symptoms. It's just that ultimately you do want to work on those stressors. I mean, that's what I preach all the time. We can put you on a diet and try to supplement you to health, but ultimately you've got to be at peace, because I don't think you can supplement your way to health. Eventually the stress is going to break through those supplements.
Now, My wife has been a yoga teacher for 30, 35 years now. And most of her students are older people in our community who have experienced a lot of stresses in their lives. And where we can, we get them on hair analysis and supplements. But the yoga stretches, twists, and bends, and just working on simple body movements is a tremendous stress reduction. And then at the end of each class, my wife has them lay down and practice slow, deep diaphragmatic breathing to help further reduce their stress. So a combination of things like that, especially the diaphragmatic breathing, which can be done in or out of something like a yoga class. Just diaphragmatic breathing is tremendously helpful in reducing blood pressure and stress.
That's awesome.
And when you reduce stress, that allows the body to retain magnesium through supplements or magnesium baths or foot soaks.
Right. I think Melody had another question.
I do. Oh, my gosh. I wish we had another hour. My daughter, 16, when she was 12, she had to have a heart procedure because she had a muscle fiber that was misfiring on her heart. She kept going into tachycardia. So they went in there and they froze that part of her heart. And she was 12 at the time. And here recently, she's been having heart issues again. Her heart will beat irregularly, and she said she may be sitting and just doing nothing, and all of a sudden it'll start fluttering. And we had a doctor look at her not too long ago. She was wanting to run track, and they noticed some heart palpitations, and they said, well, you got to go back to your cardiologist before we're going to clear you. But she often complains of being stressed out and fatigued. I don't know if this is an issue where it's reoccurring all over again and we're going to have to take her back, or I have tried to start, I've just started supplementing her with magnesium. But is there something more I could do? I mean, I hate the thought of going back.
I would get a hair analysis on her, see what her overall mineral pattern is, and that kind of gives us a segue into talking about hormones like estrogen and copper toxicity. Ever since the birth control pills and copper IUDs were introduced as contraceptives, our female population has become very toxic in copper. And that can affect the whole mineral system, just like I was describing before about the effect of vitamin A on the vitamin D on the mineral system. So teenage girls are very susceptible to mineral imbalances, including a loss of magnesium as their estrogens build up through adolescence. So that would be something that I think would be very productive to take a look at what her hair mineral pattern is, and that will give you some good clues as to what has happened to her mineral system.
Okay.
And kind of along those lines, Dr. Malter, and we just have a few minutes left, passage from mom to fetus, transplacental dumping of any of these, I'm thinking of copper, for instance, can you comment on that?
Yeah, that's been what I refer to as a generational problem, because shortly after the birth control pill and copper IUDs were introduced on a mass scale, our female population began to build up more and more excess copper levels due to the effect of copper itself in the IUDs or estrogen affecting copper levels. And so our female population became what we call copper toxic. And during the stress of a pregnancy, some of the pregnant mother's excess copper is stirred up and released from her cells, goes through the placenta into the fetus, so many, many more babies have been born in each succeeding generation with copper toxicity.
Right.
And that makes these young kids, especially the girls, highly susceptible to these pre-adolescent and adolescent health crises, psychologically and physically, because they're already copper toxic, and their own estrogens, as they build up in adolescence, worsen the copper toxicity problem. And very, very health practitioners, either in the mental health field or in physical medicine, understand the copper toxicity problem underlying a lot of female problems.
Would the fulvic acid help with any of this?
Melody's referring to fulvic minerals.
Yeah. I would start with the hair analysis and see what is her underlying overall mineral pattern.
Okay.
And then you would have a clear picture of what direction to go in with different supplements to help support her system and bring about better balances.
So you don't think it's necessarily, I mean, I know you can't diagnose a situation where we need to, like, take her back to the cardiologist and start this process all over again. Should we try this first?
I think you got to find out what is her magnesium status and what is her stress status as reflected in her mineral pattern.
Okay. Thank you.
Is this hair analysis something that you can get, Dr. Edwards, since you're sitting here? Or do you specifically say, hey, I want her tested, a hair analysis?
Your kind of regular doctors won't know anything about
this.
I didn't know anything about it. We have it at our clinic, but you can also order it, I believe, because that first patient who introduced it to me just ordered it online and did a consultation online. Is that right, Dr. Malter?
Right, right.
Yep. So, Dr.
Malter, there are places online where you can order it.
Where is that?
There's a an online site called Even Better Now, which does hair analysis. And then when their clients get their hair analyses, Even Better Now refers them to me for a consultation to review and explain the hair analysis results. Unfortunately, very, very few practitioners know about hair analysis, let alone know enough to understand what they're looking at when they look at a hair analysis mineral pattern.
Yeah. Well, I can vouch for that.
Yeah, but Ben, you have picked it up very, very fast. And I'm very pleased that what Dennis and you have been able to learn in such a short time is being so enlightening for all of you.
Well, and thank you for all you do to help educate us and help educate everybody, and for coming on the show today. We didn't have time to really get into all these kids. You did mention kids with ADD, ADHD, that learning disabilities, and copper toxicity. We've seen that in some of our kids that we see with ADHD. So it's been fascinating. We may have to have you back again to talk more about some of these cases, but I think we're about out of time. Is that right, Jim?
We're just about there. We are, matter of fact. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Malter. And say your website one more time for the listeners, Dr. Malter.
It's www.malterinstitute.org.
How do you spell Malter?
M-A-L-T-E-R, institute.org.
And you can read the research there, read more about this topic we've talked about today, see Dr. Malter's books that I highly recommend. They're very informative. And as always, we're preaching to our patients to get educated. It's all, I mean, the Latin root of the word physician is teacher. And so we're all about teaching, but also there's so many resources online, as we mentioned in the show today. You can really get educated online, and I recommend that you do take your health into your own hands and work with a qualified practitioner who can think outside the box a little bit. So, Dr. Malter, thanks again. Enjoy your day out there in Arizona. Sure appreciate you being with us.
been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank
Have
you,
a good
sir.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good show. Good show.
Yeah, it was.
A lot to digest.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating stuff. We're only a month or two into doing this at our clinic, so we're definitely still learning a lot, but find it fascinating what you can pick up on these different with these different ratios. It can really be a picture into the tissue, into the cells to see what's going on. So,
well, the hair analysis, quick, and we've got to get out here. Do they take it out of the scalp, or can you just get it by just clipping a piece of hair off?
It's you just clip it, like, okay. If you go to the barber, they like it to be within an inch of the scalp, though. Okay. So shorter, you know, newer growth hair. It can be scalp. It can be other parts of the body, although I think the scalp is the most accurate.
Well,
so you can get axillary.
Here's the thing for us ladies.
Uh-huh.
Most of us have colored our hair.
Yeah, and that's a problem. The colored hair won't work. So you got to let the roots grow out or pick another body site. And we didn't get to ask Dr. Mulcher his opinion on that. I've heard some of these guys say they don't like other body sites. That's not quite as accurate, like axillary, for instance, or chest hair, leg hair, pubic even. But I think the scalp is most accurate. So let the roots grow out a little bit and just clip a little from the back of the head.
You know not what you ask.
Well, I know. I've had a lot of ladies stare at me when I told them that.
You just had one right here next to you.
Yeah.
You say so many things that are just uncomfortable.
I know. I really push people out of their comfort zone.
There you go, Doc. Great show. Dr. Ben Edwards, everybody. And you can give the doctor a good call at 8556-VERITAS. It's 8556-VERITAS. Give him a call. Dr. Ben Edwards. Veritas Medical, just right up the road from us on Martin Luther King.
Yes, sir, Martin Luther King and 50th.
50th Street, right there on the corner.
We just hired two more PAs, so we're able to hopefully get you in within a month.
Sounds good. Within a month.
Well, as opposed to three.
There you have it. Dr. Ben Edwards, everybody, and Bubbles, good to have you, girl.
Thank you.
Bubbles signs our paychecks. We're awfully glad to see her.